Surely he is risen. Jesus said in John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, Martha was upset because her brother Lazarus had passed and Jesus hadn't gotten there in time to prevent his passing. And he spoke to her and he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? He asked her. Do you believe this? Amen. One person believes it. What's the rest of you doing here, you know? Tradition. Hey, we all have come to faith in Jesus Christ if we believe that he is the resurrection and life. If you're here visiting today and you've never come to that conclusion, I pray by the time the service is over and the evidence of the scripture and the history, you will believe today that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, this day. It's just so beautiful, Lord, today, the sun. The crowds, Lord, that are gathering all over the earth this day because they love you, Lord Jesus. There's something that compels us, Father, to want to be together on this glorious day with brothers and sisters who believe the same way. When we live in a culture today that's trying to negate the truth of the Word of God, trying to diminish the authority of you, our Creator God, and that Jesus Christ alone is the way, the truth, and the life, into eternal life. Father God, we pray this morning that you would work by the power of your Holy Spirit in every one of our hearts, that there might be a deeper appreciation and understanding and love for you in our lives. That, Lord, we would follow you more devoutly. We would be more consistent in our walk and our relationship with you. That, Lord, we would have this desire in our heart for others to come to know you. Family, friends, neighbors, relatives, co-workers, Lord. The way this world becomes better is by one person at a time coming to understand their need of a Savior and believing on him, accepting him as their Lord and Savior, asking you very simply, Lord Jesus, this day I am a sinner and I realize I cannot get to heaven in my own strength and my own works because I've failed you. We're all sinners. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And there's only one way of salvation. And you told us this in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I pray, O God, this day, if there's anyone with us today that have never put their faith and their trust in you, that you would give them the grace and the ability to simply humble themselves this day and say, Lord, save me. I believe that you are the way and that you died for me. And Lord, for all of us here who are believers, Lord, strengthen us and fill us with the Holy Spirit so that this day when we're with family and friends, we reflect the reality of Christ in us, the hope of glory. We pray for those watching on the YouTube and those who are watching, listening on Grace FM, graceradio.fm and 100.3 FM. We pray for those who are incarcerated that listen to the messages on Sunday. We get the letters and they're encouraged because they hear the Word of God. Bless them in a very difficult time being behind bars and not with their families, Lord. We pray for salvation. And Lord, this day we commit this service to you and cause everything that is done and said and considered and contemplated, Lord, would cause us to understand how great you are. And we bless you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I wanted to welcome you today. Many of you, I'm sure, are here first time visitors and brought in by your family, dragged in by your family. That's what we try to do as Christians. We drag our family in to hear the gospel if they don't know Jesus. But anyway, if you have been dragged in, I want you to feel comfortable and not uptight or intimidated. There was a time in my life that I didn't believe any of this. And thank God there came a time in my life that I could not help but believe this. And it's changed my life over the last 50 years. And so this morning we're going to look at the historical context of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the preaching of the gospel. I'd like to look first at 1 Corinthians 15. And this is very powerful, and I pray that these historical texts will enlighten you and help you. One of the big things when you're a pastor, you do a lot of funerals. You do weddings and funerals, a lot of them. And every time I do a funeral, I'm always aware of how thankful I am that I have a message to bring to people who, many times, who are hopeless, brokenhearted, have questions, wondering what happens after the grave. And we have a gospel, we have a truth, we have a message that we can bring to the people that everyone has limited mortality. And there is a time of grieving, there is a time of sadness when we lose someone. And there's a hopelessness in many people's lives because they don't understand what is beyond the grave. But because of the gospel and the things we'll be reading today, this is the answer to the human race. For Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. So 1 Corinthians 15, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. This is being written by the Apostle Paul, who persecuted Christians before he became born again. Verse 3, for I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. So we studied last week, Palm Sunday, up through the burial of Christ. We covered Good Friday. Christ died on the cross for our sins on Good Friday. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, historical evidence. And that he was buried. He was buried that evening before Passover. And he, of course, we'll read here now that he rose again the third day. According to the Scriptures, that's what we're celebrating and worshiping on today. And that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preached, and so you believe. Now Christ has preached that he has been raised from the dead. How do some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Now, there's many people in our world today that don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So he's addressing these kind of people. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not rise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiful. But now Christ is risen from the dead, amen, and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all should be made alive. And so we see this historical record in the book of Corinthians to help us have solid evidence when we tell people about why they need Jesus. This is not folklore. This is not a fiction of imagination of someone's mind. This is documented in great detail in the Scriptures for us to proclaim. Now, what's wonderful is when the Gospels proclaim, God has the DNA, the spiritual DNA, to impart to someone who doesn't believe the ability to believe and pass from death unto life. It's happened to countless millions of people since the gospel has first been preached, and it continually brings many, many people into the kingdom of God. This is a simple preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we want to look this morning at the historical evidence of what happened on Easter Sunday in the morning, whenever Jesus rose from the dead. And we're going to look in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, and we're going to read the scripture account. Now, after the Sabbath, as is the first day of the week, began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Now, what's interesting is the first people that Jesus appears to are women. And I talked about this last week. So women are not subservient, as many times in culture and society have tried to make them think they are. They're very important to the gospel account. And Jesus highly regards women as part of his plan to bring the gospel to other people. So he brings the two most unlikely women. Mary Magdalene had a quite difficult past. She was a very ungodly woman, lived an immoral life until she met Jesus Christ, and he radically saved her. So it's just beautiful that she has this love for the Lord, and she can't wait to go to anoint his body, as is a custom when someone dies, not anticipating what she's going to experience here. This angel of the Lord had come, and he rolled back this stone, which was made secure so that people could not get in to that tomb where Jesus was and steal the body and then say he rose from the dead. The authorities made sure that this was secure. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. So these guys, guards, are up all night. They're supposed to secure this tomb. And we see guards, we think maybe one or two. The tradition is that there were hundreds of guards around this tomb to secure it. The authorities thought that there could be a possibility of what Jesus said could actually come to pass. And it's interesting, the unbelievers and those who were in authority had more confidence that Jesus could raise from the dead than even his closest followers. Remember, he talked to his disciples and they just had trouble believing it. He told them numerous times and they just didn't get it. And when Jesus died, they were depressed and they ran and they took off and they just were beside themselves. But anyway, these guys were so freaked out to see this angel and this tremendous amount of light in the early dawn before the sun rose, that they shook and became like dead men. They were just totally out of it. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And so the beauty of this is he's telling the women to be the witness, the eyewitness account of what has just transpired. Now, they haven't physically seen Jesus yet, but they're hearing the angel tell them what to do. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went, verse 9, to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice!" And so they came and they held him by the feet and worshiped him. In the Greek, it means they were clinging to him. I mean, it just wasn't like, "Hey, good to see you," or whatever. They were blown away. The one they loved the most, they saw that everything that had been prophesied in the Old Testament had come to pass. And now they are totally stoked, totally excited. And they were running before to tell the disciples. I'd love to see how much faster they were running after they truly saw Jesus physically had risen from the dead. And so they held him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." And so he's telling them exactly what they should do. And I love the wording here in this verse. He says, "Tell my brethren." That's an affectionate term of someone endeared to him, loving them, respecting them, admiring them, considering them part of his family. Now think about this. Every one of these guys ran from Jesus. Not one of them was truly loyal to him after the crucifixion. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had friends like that, I'd think, who needs enemies, right? But Jesus sees the heart, and he knows we're all weak, and we struggle, and we fear. And he wasn't castigating them or judging them or criticizing them for their failing. The Lord is never focused upon our failure. He's focused upon what he can turn us into and what he can make us become and change our lives. And so then the story continues in verse 11. Now, while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, tell them, and this is all the people are going to begin to know about this, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure, because the governor is going to be livid. He told them what they had to do. He's going to tell them they failed, and because of that, they're going to be killed. So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. So the nation of Israel today, and since this time, for the most part, Jewish people do not believe what we're reading here today. Their eyes are blind. And so the Lord has this plan to bring Gentiles into the kingdom, which most of us here are today. I assume we're all Gentiles. And because of the Jews' rejection of Jesus, the gospel was truly opened up to the Gentiles. But before the world was created, the Bible says about Jesus, he's the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundation of the earth. So the gospel was for all people everywhere in every place, every ethnic group, every tongue, tribe, and nation. But it says he came to his own, the Jewish people, and his own did not receive him. And so this story here had to be set up so that, people really didn't believe the Jews. And it says, this is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. So when I was in Israel talking to Jewish people about the gospel when I had a chance, it was interesting. They said, oh yeah, he was a good teacher. He was a good prophet, but they don't see him as the Messiah, because they were trained in the rabbinic schools to believe that he was just a prophet and that he didn't truly rise from the dead. And so we continue here as we think about what has happened here. We're going to look at the Gospel of Luke now. I can't take you into every gospel account of the resurrection. Or Luke is one of the apostles, and he's giving the account from his perspective. And we'll see here on the road to Emmaus. I want to pick up here. This is verse 13. And this is after the resurrection, and these guys are bummed out, and they're just walking down the road, and they're lamenting over what happened to Jesus on Friday when he was crucified. Now, behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. So isn't that interesting? The Lord's physically present. They're not aware who he is. They're just talking and walking, and he just happens to come up beside them. And he says to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? And then one of those, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? So they're thinking, like, who in the world is this person? I mean, he's close. Everybody knows. They're talking about it. This is the headlines of the news of the day. And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. Now, it's interesting. These are believers, but in some way you wonder, like, to what depth were their belief? Because they're saying, who was a prophet? They didn't say, who was the Messiah, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Their vantage point and their understanding at this point in time, even though they had spent many, many meetings with Jesus, 3 years doing ministry with him, they still didn't get it. And And he says that these chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be crucified to death and crucified him. Verse 21, but we were hoping that he was he who was going to redeem Israel. We were hoping that he really was the Messiah, but I guess he isn't. That's sort of where their minds are at. Indeed, beside all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Not one of them said, didn't he say something about rising again from the dead in the third day? They weren't talking that way. And yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And a certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it, just as the women had said. And that's Peter. He was one. Peter and John went running down when the women told them about Jesus rising from the dead. They ran and they went into the tomb, and they're blown away. And they just see the empty tomb and the grave clothes laying there. And all of a sudden it begins to dawn on them that something miraculous has occurred. But himself they did not see. So until they really saw him, there was still this suspicion of maybe what had happened. Then he said to them, this is Jesus talking to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And so Jesus begins to teach him in verse 27. And beginning at Moses in the Old Testament and all the prophets, he expounded them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So he's telling them from the Old Testament, because the New Testament wasn't written yet, which we're studying from. He's proclaiming that he is the Messiah from all the prophecies that were given throughout the Old Testament, that these guys that are students of the scriptures would all of a sudden understand what had happened. Then they, verse 28, drew near to the village where they were seeing him, saying, abide with us. And he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And so he went to stay with them. So he's planning on getting down the road, but they convinced him to stick around for a while. And now it came to pass, verse 30, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Now, no one breaks bread like Jesus. And the last time they remembered this incident was up in the upper room, right? Celebrating the Passover. So we're going to take the Lord's Supper now. As Jesus broke bread with them, he's going to break bread with us right now. What's interesting, after he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them, it says, then their eyes were open and they knew him. So I pray that as we take this now together with the Lord, that our eyes will be opened today if they're closed and blind. And I pray they'll be opened if someone is lost here today to believe. And I pray they'll be open for us as Christians to understand more deeply what it is the Lord has done for us. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the bread of life that has come down from heaven. You are the living water that sustains us. There is no life apart from you, for you are resurrection life. You're the one who imparts eternal life. You said to the disciples, unless you're willing to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, my life is not in you. And so, Lord, this simple blessing, this sacrament, this remembrance that we take before you has supernatural power that we can't even grasp or put our minds around. We just know you tell us to do it. And as often as we do it in remembrance of you. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread in his hands, he broke it, and he gave thanks, and he said, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Eat this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, that evening he took the cup and he said, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. which is shed for the forgiveness of sins of many. Drink this in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you show forth the Lord's death till he comes again. Their eyes are opened. My eyes are open today. And I trust yours are open. And as only Jesus can do, he vanishes from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? And that's what happens to me. Doesn't your heart burn within you when you read the scriptures, when you hear them proclaim, when you study them? There's life that's imparted to you because it's a living word. And so they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the breakings that had happened to them on the road and how he was known to them and the breaking of the bread. Now we'll go back to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 28. Now, when we study these things, we have to say to ourselves, where are we with this subject? What does this mean to us? There'll come a time in all of our lives where we'll be leaving this world. And unless we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we have no confidence in what it is we're going to face when we leave this world and leave this body. Many fear death. Christ's resurrection took the sting of death away from us so that we don't have to be in bondage to fear death. That all our lives before we knew Jesus Christ, we were in bondage too. Whenever you have a funeral, and you're there with people who are broken and hurting, they go up to the casket usually and they say, they look really good. And usually they don't look too good, right? And I have to remind them, well, that's not them. They're not there. If they're believers, they're with the Lord. The Bible says to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. But if they're not believers, that's a challenge, believe me. But to the living, the gospel is still proclaimed. But it comes down to this, and I tell people, you know, that's where you and I are going to be someday. Usually when people go to a funeral home, they're not thinking about themselves in that casket, right? But it's inevitable. Every one of us are going to have to face physical death unless we're raptured out of here. So my question to you is, do you believe all this? Do you believe and trust in Jesus for your eternal destiny? Or you're maybe not believing any of this. Is he now your Lord and Savior? These are questions the Lord would want us to ask ourselves today. Have you ever asked him to forgive and save you from your sin? It's an individual decision, isn't it? I can't make it for you, and you can't make it for me. This is the Lord speaking to you. He will forgive and save you from your sin if you just simply humble yourself and ask him to do that. What would keep us from asking him to do that? Our pride, the devil, his lies, his deceptions, unbelief. And you can say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. The Bible tells us it's for by grace we've been saved through faith. And this is not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, so no one can boast about it. 1 John 5:13, the Apostle John wrote this epistle as well. He said, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God. That's for us as Christians. that you may hope that you have eternal life, right? Let's say that you may know that you have eternal life. Some people think we're arrogant when we tell them we're saved and we know we're going to heaven. Well, how can anybody be preposterous enough to say something so arrogant as that? It's not arrogance, it's confidence. And I know whom I believed in and am persuaded that he is able to do, John says, that to him against that day. These things I have written unto you, John says, that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So the whole purpose of Easter is the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the one who conquered the grave, trampling down death by death, and bestowing life to all those who are in the tombs. What happened that glorious morning has changed the entire destiny of the human race for all those who will believe. Now, what's our job as a result of what this is about today? We pray every Sunday and every week that Lord would save souls all over the earth when the gospel goes out. And he does that. He says the harvest is great and the laborers are few. Pray to him, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest field. We're the laborers. We're the ones that God has sent forth. And it says in verse 16 of Matthew 28, this is what Jesus spoke to them after his resurrection. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. There's always people that doubt, even after seeing him resurrected. That's crazy, isn't it? Is this really him, or is this a fake Jesus? Is this someone, they imposter that they found somewhere, and they dressed him up like Jesus, and now he's like acting like he's Jesus, but he isn't? You know, who knows where people's minds go, right? Thomas said, I won't believe unless I thrust my hand into his side and see the nail prints on his hand and his feet. He said that privately among his other apostles. When Jesus shows up, because he knows every thought, he's omniscient. Every thought you've had since you've been in here today, he's aware of. He's aware of the thoughts of every human being on the face of the planet simultaneously. That's how powerful he is. He's the all-knowing God. So he shows up, and hey, Thomas, you know, I understand, you know, you have a problem here. Thrust your hand into my side and touch my wounds. And Thomas, when he saw that and touched him, he said, my Lord and my God. So it's okay to struggle with belief. We all have times of difficulty believing. But the Holy Spirit is the one that gives us the ability to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. So verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. That means there is no authority like Jesus. He has all authority. Our president has some authority. The police have some authority. As parents, you have some authority, right? But Jesus has all authority. Not just in heaven, but also on earth. Because of this authority, he says to his disciples, and he says to us, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. Now, there's a responsibility. People complain about the world today and the culture. Picketing, riots. That's not how to go about change in the human heart. There's one way that you can change an enemy and see them become a friend. There's only one way you can take a wicked person, a lost person, and see them be transformed into wonderful people. And the only power that can do that is what it is we're studying today, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the Lord knows, and the Roman Empire at that time was just as bad, if not worse, than the situation that we're encountering right now. If you were found to be a Christian then, you were thrown in prison and many times martyred for your faith. That hasn't happened in this country yet, and I pray it never does. But in other parts of the world, it is happening. As we're studying today, people are giving their lives for what it is we're believing. And many of the apostles, obviously, were martyred. And so our job is to figure out how we can be used individually in our home, in our workplace, in our sports endeavors, in our schools, in our neighborhood, our community, to be messengers of the gospel. We're to go out and preach the gospel and make disciples of all the nations. That's why we have missionaries, and that's why we're Christians. We're disciples. And when we find people that believe, then we're commanded to baptize them. Now, I was baptized as a baby, and I had no idea what was going on. I think I remember some guy had a rose. I have that in my mind, and he was splashing me with this rose or something. Maybe that was because I saw other babies get baptized that way, but I almost like think I can sort of remember that. But, you know, I was a pagan until I was 20. And until Jesus saved me, my baptism didn't mean anything. And when Jesus saved me, then I got true baptism. And my pastor took me into the baptismal font and baptized Cindy and I. We were both believers together, my wife, 50 years this coming summer, and baptized us in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so here we are all these years later, still following the Lord. And Jesus said, you must be born again to enter into the kingdom of heaven. You don't get born again by going to church. You don't get born again by saying prayers or doing ritual. It's all about personal communication with you and him, just like we've seen him talk with the women at the resurrection site, how he speaks to his apostles here. Everything is individual. How he spoke with Cleopas, right? And the other person, and how he speaks to you and me here today. And so when he speaks to us and we become believers, then our responsibility is to teach other people the things that he's commanded us. He says in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So we come to faith in Christ. It's called salvation, born again, new life. We're on our way to heaven because of what Christ has done. And that isn't the end of it. Now, like, how am I engaged in your, how are you engaged in this gospel message with your parents, your neighbors, your friends, your relatives? Because most people don't even know what we're talking about today, right? We can make criticisms about how people act and how they live and all that, like Pharisees. They can't help themselves until Jesus comes into their life. They can't change until Christ saves them. We got to like lighten up a little bit instead of hating people and criticizing people, telling them they need to do this, you know, and they need the Lord, right? They need the Lord. And so the greatest privilege we have is to see the Lord bring people into his kingdom. And then to find people that want to be discipled, that want to get into the word and have a Bible study and learn more. Cindy and I, our favorite time is that we spend time with several couples during the week. And they come to our house and we sit there and we open the word and we study together. And we're blessed because of what they're learning and what they share and the questions they ask. And This one guy told me recently, he said, I've been going to church my whole life. I had no idea that the Bible said all this stuff. And he's born again now, him and his wife. The other couple are young believers, and they're just so thrilling to be around because they're like sponges, and they're in the Word, they're studying it, they're looking for opportunities to share their faith, and their life is having influence now, and our lives have influence as Christ is in us. The old song, you ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. You want people to see that. Because when they see that he lives within you, then they can say, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because he lives, I know the future. He knows the future. For life is worth the living just because he lives. Amen? And so the Lord, as we celebrate his resurrection today, he's challenging you and me to get out into the marketplace, the highways and byways of life, and look for the opportunities that present themselves to present Jesus Christ to men and women and boys and girls. That's what's going on next door. There's all those little kids over there every Sunday. They're hearing the gospel, and some of them are becoming believers at a young age. And perhaps today, some of you, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, you'll become a believer. And pray and ask the Lord to give you opportunities to tell people about Jesus. In Acts, after he ascended, and the apostles are standing there looking, you know, going up with the angels. And they said, why are you looking up? The same Jesus who's being taken up from you shall return in like manner. So the next major event is what we're looking forward to when he comes and rules and reigns on the earth. But then he said to those who were there, go up to the upper room and pray. And you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in all Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So we get saved. The Holy Spirit comes into us. He fills us. He empowers us to take a supernatural message from an almighty supernatural God and tell people what Jesus did for us. And he does the same thing for other people. He says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in all Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the earth. And so my prayer on this Easter Sunday, we are living in a country that needs Jesus Christ more than any time than I have ever lived as a Christian. And with his power and with his strength, we can see lives transformed. So have a list and put the names of the people that are on your heart, that are in your sphere of influence, and say, Lord, I'm going to pray for these people daily, and I'm going to ask you to give me an opportunity to tell them about you, present the opportunity. The Lord will answer that prayer. You'll be shocked, because they'll come up and say to you one day, I'm so depressed. I'm so tired. What's this life all about? What's this life all about? And then you have a chance to say, wow, it's interesting you asked me that question. I've been praying that you would ask that question. Then you tell them what the Lord has done for you. And when you tell them what he's done for you, many times you'll find that he will then work in their lives and bring them to faith and enjoy. So as you go out today and eat and enjoy with family and friends and loved ones, look for the opportunities to lift up Jesus. Amen. And love people like Jesus loves you. Because Jesus said, by this people will know you're my disciples. Not by criticism, not by judgment, not by backstabbing, but by love, right? He said, you will know them by their love. As the worship team comes forward, May God bless you, and may you have a wonderful Easter. And for us as Christians, we celebrate the resurrection every day, right? Just not once a year, right? Every day he's risen, right? Amen. Father, thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for the power of your word, the power of the gospel. And Lord, bless your people. Bless these families. Bless these wonderful people that love you so much, Lord. And you love them so much, Lord, that you gave yourself for us. And we thank you and we praise you. And we thank you, Lord, that there's life beyond this world, eternal life, everlasting life. And it's all because of what you've done for us, Father. You're such a good God. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.